something a little bit different about today's message. Today's message comes from only one verse of Scripture. Just one verse. And normally, you know, as we're going through God's Word, as we're looking at His Word, we would take that passage and we would break down the key ideas and thoughts there that are in that. But in this one verse, it's very short, deliberate, to the point. There's a command of God. And I thought in looking at that, I would employ kind of an old-fashioned method of sometimes of how people would study the Scriptures, how people would study issues and subjects, is sometimes they would quote a verse. This goes back to medieval times, even earlier in some cases, to medieval times and the time of the Reformation, where people, they would quote a verse and then ask questions about it. And you'd see a series of questions, and those questions would be answered. This question, well, what about this? It's answered. Well, does this mean this? And that's answered. Well, what does that mean then? And just a series of questions. And that's what I'd like to do for today, is we're going to look at one verse, and I want to ask three questions about that on this subject of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit in our lives. I want you to know, too, that it sometimes, and I try to be very careful about this, I know that it is easy sometimes to come to church or to a Bible study and you hear a message there and just think, oh, boy, there's just one more area where I'm just not measuring up. I don't want you to feel that way at all. I want your hearts to be encouraged here today. There's a reason. There is a reason why last week we started with that message in this series about the Spirit, life in the Spirit, by saying, understand your position in Christ. Understand and embrace your position in Christ. I don't want you to walk out of here today saying, oh, we've gotten another message about everything we're supposed to be doing, and I'm just not measuring up. No, I don't want that. I want you to say, this is who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take heart in that. Take comfort. Take joy in that. And yes, God tells us to do these things, but do it from a heart of joy about who you are right now in Jesus Christ, your position in Christ. I hope you'll find some encouragement in that. You know, we've said that this position that you have in Christ is that God has given you, not just potentially, but right now, by virtue of your faith in Him, tremendous spiritual blessings. And remember, we went through a list of those things and we put up on there just a few of the blessings that you have. It looked something like this, if you remember that. I challenge you there. By the way, there are still some copies of this on the library counter, if you'd like to get one. But I challenge you to go through and read through this and think about these truths and meditate that all of these things are true about you as a believer in Christ right now. The true about you as a believer in Christ right now, to think on these things, meditating on these, and then dive into God's Word and see if you can't find some more, because there are. This isn't everything, but there are some more in there. And I hope your heart then was encouraged then in that. So today then, life by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, the one verse that we're looking at. And what is the key idea that I want us to pull away from the message here today? It's this, that an essential key to Christian growth and transformation is the filling of the Spirit. An essential key to Christian growth and transformation is the filling of the Spirit. There are a lot of things, there are a lot of ways, that God uses to help us, to spur us on to growth in Christian faith and mature character. There are a lot of things. But there's no doubt that an absolutely essential key, when then perhaps the key to spiritual growth and maturity, is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of you've heard this message before. You've heard it many times. You're thinking, oh, another message on that? Yeah, another message. But I hope that the Lord is going to use this to bring a new thought, a new perspective on it for you here today. Some of you, maybe this is a new thing, a new concept. Maybe you've heard this term but aren't quite sure just what it means with this. And I hope that you'll find some answers there in it with this. But looking at the Scriptures, that verse, Ephesians 5:18, comes in the middle of a long passage there where Paul is talking about Christian conduct, about what we have in Christ and how our lives ought to be different because of who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says something rather interesting. It's kind of jarring, really, what he says. But he says this about the Holy Spirit. He says, Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I'm just saying, don't be drunk with wine, be drunk with the Spirit. Don't be filled with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Isn't that kind of an interesting thing that he uses to picture what the Christian life ought to look at, ought to look like? Being drunk with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. What is this? What is the filling of the Spirit? What is the filling of the Spirit? What do we mean by that? Well, there are a lot of ways we could look at that, approach that subject. But let me suggest this. I think this is at the heart of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. It is this. To be filled with the Spirit is to be under the influence, under the power, under the control of the Holy Spirit. Simply that. Being under the influence, under the power, under the control of the Holy Spirit. It is a rather interesting illustration here for a crucial concept here in spiritual growth and maturity that Paul refers to drunkenness, drinking a lot of wine. He says that don't be filled with wine. Don't be under its power, control, and influence. Rather, be filled with the Spirit. Be under the control of the Spirit, under the power of the influence, or under the power and influence of the Spirit. Now, what happens when a person is filled with alcohol? Has anyone here ever seen someone who's filled with alcohol? Someone? Okay, we have one person. Anybody else? Okay, another? Okay, now I see a few more hands here. Okay. That's really what we're talking about. We're saying being filled with the Spirit. Paul is saying, don't be filled with alcohol. Don't be filled with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. I think he uses that illustration deliberately for a very good purpose. That's what the Christian life is supposed to look like. There's someone saying, Christians are supposed to be drunk all the time. Yeah, you heard it here. I said Christians are supposed to be drunk all the time. They're just not supposed to be drunk on wine or alcohol. They're supposed to be drunk on the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit under the influence and power. So what happens when a person is filled with alcohol? That person, there's even a term, under the influence, driving under the influence, DUI. Person is under the influence, the power, and the control of that substance, of that alcohol. In other words, that person is not truly themselves anymore. They're not truly under, they don't have complete control of their faculties. They are under the influence, under the power, under the control of the alcohol that's in them. As a result of that, then, it affects everything about that person, then, doesn't it? It affects that person's thinking. Does alcohol affect thinking, your thinking? I'm not talking about you folks. I'm saying other people who've been drunk, okay? But does it affect thinking? You bet it does. Does it affect your speech? Not only what you say, how you say it, but everything about how you speak. Does it affect your speech? Things that maybe you never would have said that you will say then? Maybe things that you think, maybe things that you didn't even know that you thought, but you did think, and then you find out that you really do think that way or feel that way. Your behavior, does alcohol affect behavior, people's behavior? Absolutely it does. To be filled with alcohol means to be affected in every way, in your thinking, in your speaking, in your behavior, because you are under the influence, under the control and the power of that substance. Paul says being filled with alcohol leads to debauchery. Your debauchery is degenerate behavior, immoral behavior, depraved behavior. Is that true? That oftentimes when people are filled with alcohol, it leads to immoral behavior, harmful behavior? Why? Why does it do that? Well, I think because it lowers our inhibitions. And I believe it reveals and it empowers what is already there within us, that sinful nature that is there within us. And sometimes we have these guards up. Like we struggle enough with the power of the sinful nature as it is, don't we? But fortunately, there is a certain guard that we maintain over that sinful nature, that we don't always say everything that we're thinking, do we? We don't always act out everything that we'd like to act out. There's an inhibition there, a control over that. But you bring alcohol into the equation, what happens? Those inhibitions, power, it starts to loosen. And the real you, the real me, it starts to come out then, doesn't it? And that's why it often leads to depraved behavior. Why? Does alcohol cause depraved behavior? No, alcohol simply loosens up those guards, those inhibitions, and we become what is within us already in that sinful nature, don't we? So we're told then, don't be filled with wine. Don't be filled with alcohol. Don't be under its power, control, and influence, but rather be filled with the Spirit. Be under His power, His control, His influence. Last week again, we talked about your position in Christ, who you are in Christ. We said that you and I, all who believe, that you've been crucified with Christ, that you're dead to sin, that your sin has been judged in Him, and that you are dead to that sin, that you were buried with Him, and you were raised with Him to reign with Him in glory. Discussed a few of those blessings that are yours right now in Christ. And what God says to you, what He says to all who believe is that you are a saint. You're a child of God. Do you know that? I know, and I'm guilty of this too. I do it too. We are prone to speak of ourselves as believers. Oftentimes we'll say, well, you know, I'm a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And that's true. We are sinners, aren't we? But you know the interesting thing about it, though, is do you know that Scripture never really speaks of believers in Jesus Christ as sinners? It speaks of believers in Jesus Christ as saints, the ones set apart from sin. Now, is the Scripture aware of the fact that saints sin? Certainly it is. Certainly it is. But it never speaks to Christians as being sinners. The word sinners in the Bible is people, unregenerate people, outside of the grace and the power of God. Now, regenerate, born-again people still have that sinful nature. We still sin, don't we? But the Bible doesn't say we're sinners. It says we are saints. Now, I tell you this not because I'm making some, you know, fine point about language, linguistics or something. I tell you this because I think it's significant in how we ought to view ourselves. Now, we need to have a sober evaluation, sober judgment about us, and realize that the power of sin is still within us, isn't it? And that we're capable of sinning. No doubt about that at all. The Bible says that it doesn't say you're a sinner. It says you are a saint. You're a saint. And I think that ought to affect then how we live. You are a saint. Now someone's saying, well, I don't really feel like a saint. You have this idea of a saint as being like some way up there, absolutely, you know, grand, exalted, near perfect person. The Bible doesn't talk about a saint like that. It says a saint is one who has been set apart by Christ, by God, one of His people, and is called to live a set apart life. That's who you are. I don't feel like a saint. I certainly don't always think or speak or act like a saint. No, you don't, and I don't either. But you are. You are a saint. Now, when we are filled with the flesh, under the flesh's influence, power, and control, under the power of the sinful nature, we're certainly not going to think and act and speak like the saints we are we? When we're filled with the flesh, we're not going to act like the saints that we are. Listen, God has richly blessed you and me with everything that we need for life and godliness. But he never promised us that it would always be easy, did he? Living the Christian life, living for Christ, growing in faith and godly living. Didn't say it would always be easy. In fact, there's a common metaphor for it in the Scriptures about the Christian life, this battle. What is it? It's war. It's war. The Christian life is war. It's a struggle. It's an armed conflict. That doesn't sound like an easy life to me, does it to you? So God never said that it was going to be easy, that it is a war. But the fact is, you are God's child. You are eternally blessed in Him. And you have everything you need, except for one thing. Okay, now wait a minute there. You just said that we have everything we need for life and godliness. And now I just said we have everything we need except for one thing. Am I contradicting myself? No. We do indeed have everything that we need. The problem is we don't always appropriate or use everything we have, do we? We do have everything we need. But what we don't have sometimes is the Spirit's power. Why? Because God hasn't given us? No, because we don't make use of what He's promised. We don't make use of it. We don't appropriate it. You know, there's one Bible commentator was talking about this filling of the Spirit, and he painted a picture here of this. He says, I want you to imagine that if someone were to give you a beautiful brand new car, imagine your dream car. Okay, maybe everybody has a dream car. Now, I'm not promoting materialism here, folks, okay? But probably somebody, most of us here have an idea of, like, wouldn't it be nice to have a car like that? Okay, imagine this dream car that you have. Brand beautiful, brand new, perfect running condition, every option you could possibly want. And someone just graciously gives this to you and says, here, this is yours. This is my gift to you. And then you get in, you're all ready to go for a cruise and try to turn the engine over and go somewhere. You can't go anywhere. You just sit there. It sits in the driveway. Yeah, it looks great. It's wonderful. You have all this, but you can't go anywhere with it. You can't go anywhere because if you don't have any gas in the tank, you're not going anywhere with that car. As nice as it is, as wonderful it is to have that, if you don't have any power, the gas is the power to energize that thing and run, you're not going anywhere. Same thing, all that we have in Christ, these rich spiritual blessings in Christ, they're wonderful to have, but if they're not energized, if we're not energized by the Holy Spirit, we're not going anywhere in our Christian life, are we? The Holy Spirit is the power to take us where God wants us to go, in godly character, in service. We must appropriate it. We must make use of His power, the Holy Spirit's power in our life. Well, okay, I believe that. Well, how do I do that? How do I make use of the Holy Spirit's power in my life that God says, His Word says, I already have? How do I do that? Well, it's a good question. But we're not going to answer that one yet. We're going to consider another question first. And that's this. What are the results of being filled with the Spirit? We've talked about what it means to be filled with the Spirit, being under His power, under His control. What are the results? What are the results of being filled with the Spirit? What happens when we are under the Spirit's power and control? Well, I would simply answer it this way in saying, the results of filling are seen in the fruit of the Spirit, in holy living, and empowered service and progress in the faith. The results of filling are seen in the fruit of the Spirit, in holy living, in empowered service and progress in the faith. The fruit of the Spirit. You've heard me say this many times. You've probably read it many times. I'm sure many of you could quote it. But what is the fruit of the Spirit? It is the fruit are characteristics or traits, aren't they? They're qualities that God produces in the hearts and minds of those who are His, who are walking in faith and obedience with Him. You know, becoming mature in Christ isn't a matter of us setting out, taking a good look at ourselves and deciding, yep, this is how I need to grow. If I'm going to be more like Christ, I need to do this and this and not do that. It's giving ourselves to the Spirit who produces in us godly character. Giving ourselves over to Him, and He produces godly character. It's demonstrated by the fruit of the Spirit, which is, what's the first thing on the list? Love, isn't it? Love. I don't think it's an accident that that comes first, because that's really kind of the key to everything else in godly character, isn't it? Love. Love of God. Love of others. Might even say love of self. Not in the bad sense where the Bible talks about people becoming lovers of self. I mean in the positive biblical sense of loving ourselves because God has first loved us. So it's love. Love. Joy. Peace. Does this characterize your life? Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. I knew the next one. I thought it was just, I would say patience there and see how patient you could be until I said the next one. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is that what your life is characterized by? Can I gently suggest that if you take a good hard look at yourself and you don't see a lot of love or joy or peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, maybe there's a filling problem there, filled with the wrong thing, filled with self instead of filled with the Spirit, under the power and control of self and the sinful nature, than the power and control of the Spirit. Because you think God lied about that? You know, that it said, you know, that He would fill us with His Spirit? It's like, can we be full of His Spirit and not then become men and women who embody love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, these things? I don't think so. For truly walking with the Lord, walking in the Spirit, there's going to be a change in us, isn't there? And if there isn't, that's telling us something about ourselves, isn't it? It tells us which road we're walking down. What are the results of the being filled with the Spirit? The results are seen in the fruit of the Spirit, seen in holy living. The fruit of the Spirit goes in holy living. What is holy living? Is turning away from sinful attitudes and behaviors and practices and turning toward godly behaviors, attitudes, practices. Empowered service. You know, people can work very hard and maybe pile up a lot of results that look impressive to other people, but they can be doing it in their own power, in the flesh. And maybe we can even fool ourselves and fool others for a time, but we really don't fool God. God sees, and God sees the truth in that. That will last is that which is done for Christ, through Christ, in the power of the Spirit. Spirit-filled men and women make an eternal impact in the lives of others. Not because they're so great, but because the Spirit is operating in and through them. And it's God who produces results, true results, eternal results. Empowered service is a part of being filled with the Spirit. And finally, progress in the faith. Again, I don't want anyone to walk away from here saying, oh man, I'm just not measuring up. It's a process, and being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean that because you're filled with the Spirit that a brand new Christian is going to be as mature as someone who's been walking with the Lord for 20 years. But there will be progress. There will be progress in the faith. And when you don't see progress in our lives, when we don't see progress, you think someone's really being consistently filled with the Spirit and there's no progress, spiritual progress? Can't happen. It won't happen. So the fruit of the Spirit, holy living, empowered service, progress in the faith, these are the things that we're going to see in our lives if we are being filled with the Spirit. Again, is it a one-time deal, being filled with the Spirit? No, it is a constant, daily thing, isn't it? Of giving ourselves over to the power of the Spirit. Well, again, boy, that all sounds great. How can I appropriate, or how can I make use of the Spirit's power? How can I be filled with the Spirit? How would you answer that question? I told you today's the format's a little different here. We have a scripture verse, we're asking some questions and answer. Part of that format sometimes is having those who are listening answer back. So here's your chance. You get to preach to me. How about that? How can I be filled with the Spirit? Prayer? Okay. What? Faithfulness, patience, okay. Persevere, not give up, okay. Obedience, oh man, there's that crucial word right there. What'd you have to, you ruined everything for us now. You know, we were all feeling so good about ourselves and now you say we have to obey. Yeah, but that's true, isn't it? What else would you say? How can you be filled? How can I be filled with the Spirit? That sounds wonderful. I'd love that. How can I have this in my life? Practice, okay. Don't give up. You keep going, right? How can I be filled with the Spirit? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Recognize our own weakness and need to be filled. Boy, that's a key. How can I be filled with the Spirit? We are filled by confessing sin. Continuously surrendering and obeying His Word. Even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. And trusting God to complete the good work He has begun in us. We're filled with the Spirit when we confess sin, when we continuously surrender to Him and obey what He's telling us to do, even when it's hard, and then trusting God to complete the good work that He has begun in us. Confession. Confess, it literally means what? We're saying the same thing about our sin as God, agreeing with God about it. I hate to say it, but confession is a regular practice for me. Anybody else here? Confession, a regular process, regular practice? I hope so. Continuously surrendering, it's a daily decision, isn't it? It's a daily discipline. Each day, it's like, who am I going to live for today? Am I living for me? Am I going to live in the flesh, or am I going to live in the Spirit? And sometimes it's a moment-by-moment choice, isn't it? Who am I going to surrender to here? Obeying His Word. How can I obey His Word if it's so hard and I really don't want to? Well, we're going to talk some more about that next week. I think for today, these are just the key thoughts or key principles here. Next week, I want to talk about some more things that God has given us to help us in the in growth and faith and godly living. Obeying His Word, though, but sometimes you know God is speaking to you. You know what you're supposed to do. You just don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. I think, is God willing to pour out His power on those who aren't willing to obey Him here and now and what He's telling them right now? Obey in what God is telling you right now. And there's that last part, trusting God to complete the good work He has begun in you. I'm not ever going to arrive perfectly in this life, are we? But we got to trust that God is going to finish what He started. And He will. And we can thank God for that. So these are main principles that we've discussed today about what is the filling of the Spirit. What happens? What are the results of it, of being filled with the Spirit? And finally, and how are we filled? Next week, I want to take a closer examination of this process and the resources, the tools, and the weapons that God has given us to carry out this commandment to be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we do confess that we fall short. Every one of us falls short every day of Your glory. We are saints, Lord. We are Your children. We are Your called apart ones. And yet we are painfully aware, though, too, Lord, that we still have the capacity within us to sin. That nature is still there. And we sometimes give in to it, even though it has been crucified. We have been crucified with Christ. We are dead with Him, and we've been buried with Him, and we have risen with Him. We still, Lord, re-energize that sinful nature within us by choices that we make. So, Father, we confess those sinful choices. We ask here this morning, Lord, that You would fill us with Your Spirit. Fill this church, this body of believers here, with Your Spirit. Empower us, Lord, for godly living and service. Lord, we do want to honor You. We do want to please You. And I pray, Father, that in this week and the next week, Lord, that You would do amazing things in our hearts and minds. Amazing work of transformation. And God, we know it's a process. But maybe there's some that for the first time are really understanding what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The serious commitment that it takes to be a true follower of Jesus. And I pray You'd encourage the hearts of the fainting too, Lord, that are feeling overwhelmed by just reminding them here now of who they are, who He is, who she is in Jesus Christ. And we thank You for those blessings, Lord. Thank You, Father, that You have given us everything we need for life and godliness. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.